Hello and welcome to the Unhustle Podcast. I am sitting today with Petra Velzebor. I should have asked you how to say your name. Velzebor? Is that how you
Velzebor.
Say it? Velzebor. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Petra. And Petra is a renowned mental health expert, a TEDx speaker, and a CEO with a mental health consultancy. So I'm super excited to speak with her today. She captures, surprises, and inspires audiences with her incredible story of transforming adversity into advantage and challenges her audiences to take responsibility for their mental health. She's a psychotherapist with an MS in psychodynamics of human development and a certified coach with a lot of things I can't even pronounce. So she's a very talented and credible guest on the Unhustle podcast. The topics she normally speaks on are resilience, stress management and burnout prevention, leadership and psychological safety for healthy teams, well-being through change and uncertainty in parenting and young people's mental health. I saw Petra on a LinkedIn Live and was immediately drawn to her message, to her style, to her personality. So I reached out to Petra and invited her to come and talk with us today because I think she's got some really good approach to mental health, as well as some practical tips she can share with us. So welcome to the Unhustle podcast, Petra.
Thank you so much for that introduction and for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So we have about 30 to 40 minutes. Let's dive into it. I know it's at the end of your day. Petra is in London currently, so she's like winding down a little bit. But thank you for taking the extra time to talk with us. So let's kick it off with, why are you so passionate about mental health?
I'm passionate about mental health because it's deeply personal, right? I think many of us who are passionate about this topic have either been affected ourselves by poor mental health or have seen somebody close to us affected. And for me, I mean, I grew up in a really alternative setting. I grew up in a religious cult, think communes and traveling to lots of different countries. Yeah, didn't go to school as a kid, you know. And so the result of that, trying to integrate into real life in later life and get an education, you know, just led to addiction, depression, just a whole host of more negative aspects of poor mental health. And so, you know, I had to experiment on myself first in order to take responsibility for my own mental health. That set me on the path to learning about it, to becoming more of an expert in the topic. And then again, eventually building my own business. So it's a thread throughout my entire life.
Wow. I mean, I can just talk to you about your whole childhood. We can do a whole different episode about that. A very interesting story right there. How do you define mental health?
So I love the World Health Organization definition because it's really about prevention. It's about how fulfilled we are. Are we able to cope with what they refer to as the normal stresses of life? And of course, we could argue that with the pandemic, the conflict in Ukraine, these sorts of things, the normal stresses, the threshold has kind of gone up, you know, working remotely, working hybrid, these sorts of things weren't really on our radar beforehand. And so mental health is about our ability to be resilient, to manage those sorts of stressors and become successful through them as well.
Excellent. So let's dive a little bit and unpack this whole mental health box. And we can talk about teams and organizations, but also individually. I work with a lot of startup founders and entrepreneurs, and the stress level is really high. And as you mentioned, add on top of that global war threat and, you know, uncertainty and pandemic and all of this. So your stress, the good stress in our lives, is really not that much, and there's a lot of all these external stresses. So what can a leader, a founder, a startup founder, an entrepreneur, or just a regular person, really, what are some of the things they can do to deal with this on a day-to-day basis?
So that was a lot of topics. So let me pick them one by one. I think that there's something quite specific about being a founder. So where some of these tips, of course, will apply to everybody, you know, to the individual, to the team, to the leader. There's something quite specific, right? And you know, this is the Unhustle podcast. You know, the hustle mentality is so deeply ingrained in our conditioning, It's sort of romanticized, and you know, there's so many things that we want to achieve, and I don't know, it takes maybe a slightly mad person to want to go on the journey anyway of building a business, right? And so there's something quite unique there. But part of it for all of us is about challenging our conditioning. We should do this. This should be what we achieve. We should be going this direction. That's, you know, those sorts of messages can really, you know, get us to compare with others, to do the Instagram comparing. You know, they say we compare our insides, flaws, you know, insecurities, all of that, with other people's outsides, which is just, you know, got this round of funding and everything's peachy, you know, that kind of contrast. So I think founders are at higher risk of poor mental health, whether it's the depression that comes after a big win, right? So you're like, well, yay, I've been working for this for so long. And then it's a bit of a dip or a crash. It can often be quite lonely and isolating. You know, you're you want to keep your cards close to your chest. You're not telling other people about what's going on. And I know there's a lot more female founders now, but there's a massive male founder population, right? Where there's another layer of conditioning, which is don't say, you know, show no weakness, right? We don't talk about our mental health or our insecurities. And, you know, the list goes on and on. One of the key things that I do as a founder myself is me and my chief operating officer, every 3 months, we will sit down and have a conversation and we'll go, are you still enjoying the journey? And he'll ask me, are you still enjoying the journey? And if we're not enjoying the journey, we will say, okay, is there something we can change? Is there something we can outsource? Or do we need to let something go? And it's quite a radical conversation, but what it does is it presses, allows us to press pause on the hustle, 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 right? And just go, let's sit back for a second. You know, how's your mental health? How are you doing? And in my team, we're that open. We kind of go, how's your mental health? And we know that doesn't just mean, are you struggling today, right? It means like, hey, did you sleep well? Are you able to do the things to invest in yourself? How are you looking after yourself? And we kind of create positive accountability. So reflection, I'm jumping straight ahead. You got me in the topic. Yeah. reflection, taking time to pause, and then boundaries is probably, and that looks different for different people, and it looks different at different times or stages in our startup journey or in our lives in general. But having that moment to go, what is a healthy boundary for me? Whether it's a time that I end working, whether it's time I exercise, whatever it looks like, is just some of the key things to consider in order to avoid burnout and maybe the negative impacts of hustle culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do speak with a lot of, you know, startup founders and entrepreneurs, and that burnout, oftentimes people don't realize they're burnout, and then it catches up with you, with them. And as you and I know, it could really sneak up on you, and then all of a sudden you have an anxiety attack and you find yourself in the hospital. I mean, I just spoke with a founder who's put himself in the hospital 3 times because he's surviving on energy drinks and very little sleep. And you know, when you're 23, you may think you're invisible and you can do it until you realize you can't. So why do you think there is a little bit of a bad rap around mental health? And do we need to kind of rebrand it a little bit so that we can normalize that conversation in the workplace? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think myself and other people kind of that are trying to disrupt the well-being, kind of have a fruit bowl in your kitchen kind of vibe, right? Are really trying to change the narrative around what mental health means and educate people that we all have mental health, just like we have physical health, right? So it's the health of our mind, right? And then people forget that like our head, our brain is attached to our body. It's like one person, right? So our physical health affects our mental health affects our physical health. And there are things that we can all do in order to invest in our physical and mental health, just like we go to the gym for our bodies and to release stress, those sorts of things. We can do things, meditation, boundaries, conversations, open a connection in the workplace that can help enhance good mental health, right? So the language that we want to use is like, how can we sustain good mental health, not just not talk about it until somebody's burnt out, somebody's in hospital, somebody now talk to a therapist or some, you know, a more crisis-driven approach. So we want to come from a connection, belonging, openness, psychological safety. All of that is under the mental health umbrella. But people don't realize that because there's loads of stigma out there about what it is and fear, I guess.
And so let's talk a little bit more about that connection and belonging piece, because you and I know that loneliness is such a huge, well, you're in the UK, so I don't know necessarily the stats in the UK, but loneliness is a pandemic huge. In the US. And yeah, so, okay, so it's a big problem in the UK as well. And with hybrid work, remote work, a lot of people work from home, which doesn't help in this whole situation. And the people I speak with, a lot of them suffer from that loneliness, challenge.
Yeah. Right. It's so taboo to talk about, but that's really what's going on.
Right. And there's only so many Zoom happy hours we can do, or, you know, other online communities of sorts. So what can somebody do on a very practical level to deal with that loneliness if they're working from home?
I mean, it's tough. And I, you know, I've been affected during the pandemic, and I live with people, I've got two kids and I've got a partner, you know, and yet I was like doing Zoom keynotes, you know, thousands of people and not seeing anyone, no applause at the end of it, no closure. It's just like the strangest thing. Mm-hmm. And also I'm so used to movement, whether it's walking to the train station, if I'm on stage, I'm walking the stage, I'm moving, you know, I'm kind of burning my stress as I go, whereas just sat in this situation talking, right? Or talking to hundreds of people, right? Your stress has nowhere to go. It's just stacking up and building up. So we've got Mental Health Week coming up here in May, and the theme is loneliness. Like they've like identified that as the key issue. What can we do? First of all, know that you're not alone. You know, in the sense where so many of us are experiencing it. So if you're going to reach out to someone, they're probably going to be really relieved and want to have that connection as well. There are things we can do in teams. And you know, my whole company is remote. So we're based in different countries. And they would say that we're the most connected, open, you know, they get a sense of belonging, even though we are remote. So I do think there are ways that you can enhance connection remotely. And it's looking for opportunities to, I guess, be brave. That's one of our values in the business, because sometimes it takes bravery to ask a real question, something that goes below the how are you, right? How was your weekend? You know, how's the weather? How are the kids? It's like, hey, what's the particular challenge you're facing at the moment, right? So it's like things that we can all take responsibility for to really see and connect with each other. But, you know, nothing replaces human touch. And that's what we're missing more than anything else, which is that handshake, that hand on the shoulder, that proximity to people. Like nothing quite replaces that. Some people are, their anxiety is still high from a health perspective, but this is where we're out of practice. So practicing bravery and engaging in new groups and situations is really crucial to support with that loneliness feeling.
Yeah, and personally, I just went to a in-person huge conference called HR Transform, and there were 1,600 business leaders, entrepreneurs, HR people there, and investors, and it was just shocking to me how, because I spent, you know, 2 years at home, and all of a sudden you get put into this environment with a lot of people around you, no one wearing masks, you know, everybody was vaccinated, but no one, you know, all of a sudden it's a completely different mindset even. I mean, people were saying, this is great, the energy is great, we love the energy, and at the same time, you need to retrieve to your hotel room and kind of recharge, because we got out of being around humans, right? So so I think as we ease into kind of more of a normal way of working, it's just going to take a little bit more adapting to do, and I think,
and this is
taking it easy on yourself, right?
Totally. And this is what I mean about our boundaries can evolve and can be different for different people, but also at different times, you might need different types of boundaries. So maybe 1 hour is your max, or 2 hours, and then you need to retreat, fill up in some way. Maybe you're like me, an extrovert, you get very excited by these things and we're just like, don't make it stop, right? But the next day you have a bit of a mood drop, because it's just like a bit of a depression or a crash, right? Because you're like, oh, I'm still alone, you know? So whatever your situation is, you know, adjusting those boundaries is really useful.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about how do we bring this whole conversation to the workplace without making it sound like it's something else companies need to invest in. I mean, how do we normalize this whole conversation so that it doesn't sound, you know, like, oh, here's another thing I need to consider, right? What is the business case for leaders?
There's a huge business case. And here in the UK, they're ahead of the times in a way, because there's quite a few reports and studies and statistics around, you know, what is the impact on a business when they don't invest or focus on this topic, right? And so we see things, especially now, the great resignation is the buzzword, right? So if you want to retain your talent, if you want to keep your people, this is no longer a topic that can be ignored, right? Because everybody's affected in some way. So there's things like talent retention, there's absenteeism, so people kind of taking long-term sick, and it ends up costing the business money. And then there's a whole science behind productivity or presenteeism, right? So you show up at work or at your desk at home, but you're not actually as productive, and like how that affects the bottom line for a business. So if I go and speak to senior leaders, you know, I'll kind of highlight some of those reports and statistics, and everybody is relating to the talent retention piece now, right? Right. And so that then connects to the argument that isn't just crisis driven. Let's have a helpline they can call when they're struggling. Nobody calls it until they're so far struggling that now it's going to still take a long time for them to get back to optimal performance, right? So some of that then adds to the discussion of like, well, what's the culture that we're trying to create, right? What does a mentally healthy culture look like? And in order to not feel like, oh my goodness, it's another thing we have to do. First of all, if we realize it's just like part of every day, it's not an additional task, you know, it's how we speak to each other. It's just how we show up. But also it aligns to the diversity and inclusion agenda, right? It aligns to HR's outcomes and agenda. So in big companies, I try and get all those people talking to each other because it kind of simplifies the process because we're all kind of doing the same thing. But you'd be surprised, you know, the siloed approach of like people over here that never talk to each other. But there is a clear business case, and it's no longer able to ignore it.
And does that responsibility fall on the HR person or on the actual founder, leader who runs with this?
Yes. Well, I always talk about there's two sides of it, right? So on the one hand, it's organizational responsibility. So that is the leader, that is the HR person. Where mental health approaches are really useful and sustainable, it's when the leader, like myself as a founder CEO, is leading by example in taking breaks, having boundaries, communicating to their people, creating open places for discussion. So that's part of the responsibility. However, we also need to take into account individual responsibility. Because you can have all the benefits, you can have all the numbers, you can have all the, you know, fruit in the office, you know, but if the individual isn't taking ownership for their own boundaries and what they need and communicating that with their team, well, it's not going to work either, right? So often where it goes wrong is when one side might be working, but the other side isn't, or the other side is, but this side isn't, and eventually it becomes toxic. You need both to make a sustainable, mentally healthy culture.
And so give me an example of a program that you would incorporate or work with a company to put into place. What does that look like?
We do so many things. It's so exciting. We're very busy. So we do go right from mental health strategy. So how do we assess what you have, highlight what the gaps are, and help you create an action plan? So that's kind of consulting. We then do the leadership bit. So whether it's coming into an exec session to talk about the business case and help back up that side, whether it's our middle management level. So we've got a mental health for leaders course, we've got a mental health champions program. So putting the training in place to help bring to life that strategy. Because, you know, you can write a great document and it can just hide in the cloud forever and who cares, right? Or a policy or something like that. But we're all about like, okay, how does every part of the business help to bring that narrative to life. And then we do all staff webinars if it's virtual, we do lunch and learns if it's, you know, coming into an office, but it's all from the perspective of, an uplifting approach to mental health, so changing the narrative, and then practical solutions that individuals can apply to themselves today, right now, the 1 minute version, the 3 minute version, you know, not just the, oh, I now must sit on a mountain for 2 hours and meditate and then work out for 4 hours. You know, like sometimes the well-being narrative is all these things you have to do.
Yeah.
But helping people understand the science and sort of tackling all elements of the business is our approach.
Let's go with the science approach. Give me like, let's say, three things, science-based approaches to three little things that anybody can do in less than 5 minutes.
So burnout is an interesting one. There's a great book or a great leader, Dr. Nagoski, who's written a book. And so the science of burnout, there's 12 stages to burnout. And the 11th stage is actually depression. So first of all, educate yourself on kind of where you're at on some of these stages. But what's interesting about burnout or stress stacking up is that it can't be, you can't think your way out of it. Even talking therapies is like, let me talk about the stress. And, you know, you might identify some patterns, but stress and prevention of burnout is about physical movement. It's about physical movement. Right. It also, there can be things like laughter, human connection, all of these elements help with prevention. So if there's one thing you take away at the end of your day, no matter what time it ends, move your body. Don't just move from this screen to your TV screen. Right. That could be a 5-10 minute walk around your block. It could be putting on your favorite song. My kitchen's over there, so I'm looking over like and dancing in your kitchen. And it could be going to the gym. It could be doing some stretches in your living room. Move your body because it will release physically the stress from your day and allow you to then kind of start from zero the next day and prevent that stacking effect.
Yeah, thank you for that. I can actually attest to that because at some point in time, I used to exercise a lot and I used to move my body a lot. And then I got into a lot more like mindfulness and meditation. And so I didn't need the exercise. I didn't feel like I needed the exercise. And then I noticed that my sleep started to not be as good. I mean, I still walked. I still walked with my dog and I still danced in the kitchen, you know, cooking. I still moved my body a little bit, but I didn't exercise the way I exercise. And I noticed a difference. And so now I'm starting to introduce again more movement and I'm seeing how much better I feel, really. At the end of the day, how much better I sleep and all these things. So movement, you know, even things like shaking it off, right? And I know these things. And just shake it off at the end of the day or in the morning or whenever you feel stressed out and overwhelmed helps so much. And we just forget that we need to move our bodies. We're designed to move our bodies. And so thank you for these tips. Now, I noticed on your website some of your values, and you just mentioned them. Are like human connection and lightness and humor, bravery and responsibility and action. So I want to unpack these values. Why are they so important to you as an organization and as a founder? And the follow up to that question is, how can a company align their team with their values?
How can you bring them to life, I guess, right? So, I mean, I started as an independent consultant. I then became a founder and then our team has now scaled, right? So it started with my frustration, I guess, about the mental health industry, how they were talking about this topic. And as I'm a therapist as well, so kind of learning about the therapeutic approach, which, you know, is like listening and we talk about the problem a lot. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem, right? Which is somewhat opposite to positive psychology, which is like, well, where are we now? Where do we want to get to? What do we need to let go of? You know, just a different kind of approach. So and so bravery for me, because of my past, because of the trauma I'd experienced and then going through my own addiction, it took immense bravery to simply show up at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, to simply tell somebody about where I grew up, to tell somebody to go to school when I hadn't as a kid, as an adult, you know? So I realized that bravery, we don't often feel like we're being brave when we're doing it. You know, it's the small, tiny steps of like showing up, being honest, being a founder is brave, but you know, talking about our flaws with our team is also really brave, right? So that felt fundamental to the mental health conversation. Lightness and humor, we take this topic so seriously. Right? We immediately think about suicide. We immediately think about the dark side of mental illness. But actually, people who are mentally ill want to laugh about it as well sometimes, right? We're just like, humans are hilarious. So, you know, our connection comes through kind of just having a laugh and a joke sometimes. So if that feels crucial for reducing burnout as well, scientifically. And then human connection, we've talked about loneliness. It's that bravery. It's that really seeing and valuing people. And then we mentioned a bit about responsibility and action, because many times there's this fine line between being a victim of circumstance, which can lead to poor mental health, anxiety, depression, a whole host of things. And that's very different than having a mental illness, such as a chemical imbalance. And I think the conversation is a little bit skewed to like, well, I've got a chemical imbalance, so there's nothing I can do about it, right? Take some antidepressants, this is it, right? And that kind of takes away our power. And so responsibility is, and action is, going, even within whatever context, whatever diagnosis, what is in your power? What is in your control? So we don't just leave it all to the doctors, but we do the things: nutrition, movement, conversation, all of that. You can tell I can talk about this all day.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you're talking about is right, turning from victim to victor mentality. Yes. and taking control and having agency over your life and your health and your mental health in this case. Yeah, of course we can talk forever. We can talk forever. Yes. I know you. Yes. And I can talk forever. So how can a company sit down and develop their own values and then live and step into their values as it relates to what you're talking about?
So the first step, of course, is defining them. And the more people at different levels of the business are involved in that, the better. So how can you collaborate on them? But then not only think about what they are, but think about what are the behaviors. So we actually have these in our performance review. You know, how are you living your values? Give me an example of how you've lived your values over the last couple months. And so it's like, hey, how have I been brave? And the individual has to reflect on that and share and discuss it. Crucially, founders, leaders, leading by example in those behaviors is the biggest impact, and the biggest ripple effect will be that, right? We follow what people do, not what they say, right? And talking about when I get it wrong, right? Which I do, right? And having that conversation. Yeah, we do. And then that makes other people go, oh, that's how you show that value. Let me get involved as well. Of course, the bigger the company, the ripple effect takes a little bit longer. And then reflect and review on them frequently to go, do these still apply? Are we still living them? Or is there something else we need to, you know, business is an evolution. The day of like, it's just fixed and set forever is just gone, right? So yeah. We need to be able to evolve and reflect on any of these things as well.
Yeah. In your work, and I don't want to, I know you have a lot of data to back this up, I'm assuming, in your work with companies, what have you seen that how a leader or a founder shows up as it relates to the well-being of the team or the well-being of the company?
So, I mean, it's everything. You know, I've seen the founder who has toxic behaviors and who, like you said, is living off of Red Bull and no sleep. And you're likely to be more snappy, less diplomatic, a bit more pushy. You know, your behavior changes because with little sleep and living off Red Bull, you simply can't have the integrity and the balance that you would if your own stress levels were managed. So starting with yourself is crucial. It can't just be, hey, you should do that thing, right? Go. Yeah. And even like, we hired this HR person, make it happen.
Yeah.
Right. It's like that. It's not going to become part of the culture of the company as a whole. Right.
Yeah.
But then equally that person saying, communicating their boundary to others. So I've gone to founders, to senior execs, to senior leaders and said, how do you invest in yourself? They'll say, I meditate. I have a therapist, a coach. And then I'll say, how many of your people know that you do those things? And they'll go, oh, nobody. Right. It's not in my calendar. I just say I've got a meeting. Right. And so that perpetuates this idea that, you know, it's always on and that's the only way to be successful, when these people mostly have learned how to balance it in some way. So the first tip, and it's a free tip, if you're doing those things, tell your people you're doing them. And then you create positive accountability as a team.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So are you ready for some rapid fire questions? And then
Let's
I'll let
it.
You go.
I'm ready.
How, favorite book?
Oh, favorite book. I'm always reading something. Seth Godin.
Or what are you, or what are you reading right now?
What am I reading at the moment? I'm not reading. Hands up. I'm in the hustle. What am I reading? I just read the Burnout book, and I think I would recommend that one to everyone. So Burnout, How to Solve Your Stress Cycle by Dr. Nagoski.
Favorite leisure activity?
Exercise.
Favorite active recovery? You just said exercise. How do you unhustle?
How do I unhustle? I spend time with my two teenagers.
What does unhustle mean to you?
Let's be honest, it's a tricky one because I love the hustle because I like what I do. So I'm not for like a complete unhustle. I'm sorry if that's provocative. I love a bit of hustle, and I know that I need active recovery and time with friends and time doing things that stimulate my brain in different ways. So unhustle is using my brain differently.
Okay, I love that. How do you put yourself in flow?
Flow is doing something I love to do. So, and most of what I do at work is what I love to do. And if the balance is going off, I ask myself those questions, like I said at the beginning, to get back into flow.
Thank you for that, Petra. How can people connect with you, and where can they find you? Tell us about your TED Talk as well.
Oh, sure. Yes. Find my TED Talk, TEDx Oxford, 3 ways to live the life you want. Find that one on YouTube. My website is just my name, petravelzebura.com. You can find my team. You can find everything that we do. And LinkedIn is the platform where I post the most kind of valuable content, top tips for leaders, all of that.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time. I'm going to let you unwind from your day and go dance in the kitchen. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That was another Unhustle podcast with Petra. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, leave a review. It will help other people find it. For some reason, a lot of people are telling me they're listening to the Unhustle podcast, so I want to hear back from you. And if you want to reach out to me, you'll find me at unhustle.com. Bye for now.